The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Amen. But this is your Bible, beloved. This is God's unadulterated and revealed word to you. And you must believe I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. This word is living, it's powerful, it's incorruptible, it's indestructible, and it works mightily in every one of you that would allow it to work in you. Come on. And when we say open your Bibles, it is time to say, Father, come on, feed me with your word. And I'm ready to feast on it by faith in my heart. I don't know, but the word of God excites me. It just excites me. Glory to God. They say you like turn into a different person when you preach and teach. We thought you sort of laid back and sort of quiet. But don't get me confused with the Spirit of God. Amen. But when it comes to the Word of God, I want to be filled with the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 11. And today I want to answer the question, which is a very difficult question to answer. Can the kingdom be taken by force? Can the kingdom be taken by force? And how many have heard, and perhaps you said it yourselves, you've heard Christians say, I'm going to take it by force. I'm going to take it by force. You want to get violent with the enemy. You want to get violent with your circumstances. You're just going to take it by force. Well, I want to show in the word of the Lord today that anything that the king freely gives you, you don't have to take it. All you got to do is receive it. Now, I know it sounds good when we say we're going to take something by force. It makes us sound militant. It makes us sound violent. But I think it's time to stop playing church and to get real with the things of God, because that's where your real power lies. Come on. I don't want to chase my tail like a little puppy or a little dog. Come on. And I don't want to just wag my tail. I want to have some focus and purpose in my relationship and my walk with God. I want to know what's rightfully mine. You see, the kingdom of God, understand this now, the kingdom of God is the rule and the realm and the dominion of God that's in the heavens and the earth. It's in all the universe. Then the king of this kingdom, he came along and says, my kingdom is at hand. And he said, repent and believe the gospel. And those that repent, if you repented and you believe the gospel, this kingdom is not in his hand, it's inside of you. It's inside of you. But you want to take it by force. We need to understand what Jesus was saying here. In Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. Let me read that again. From the days of John the Baptist until now. Until when? Until the time that John had been cast into prison. Jesus says from the very beginning of John's ministry, up until this very time, you know, two of the disciples had come back to report to Jesus that John had been cast into prison. Now Jesus is saying, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now if you flip over to Luke chapter 16, Luke chapter 16. And I want you to look at verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. The law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. John was the very first of the prophets to preach the kingdom of God. He preached that the kingdom of God was at hand before Jesus did. And now Jesus says, everyone is pressing into it. Everyone. How many know what everyone's mean? Everyone means you're the one. Everybody's the one. Everyone is pressing into it. Now I want you to think about this. And I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that I observed churches on the way here to this church, and I certainly was observing when I pulled up in this parking lot. I did not see a throng of people, a crowd of people, just a multitude of people trying to beat the door down to get into the church, let alone the kingdom of God. So what is God saying to us? What is God saying? When Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And everyone is pressing into it. You need to hear what the Lord is saying to us. First of all, these two expressions, suffer violence. The kingdom of heaven suffer violence, the violent take it by force. These are two greatly misunderstood statements that Jesus made. And they raise more questions than they provide answers. These are what I call head scratchers. Now, how many ever looked at this and you said, what? How, what could this possibly mean? So you just gave it your own meaning. You said, I'm going to just get violent. I'm going to take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the second statement he made was, the violent take it by force. The Greek word suffers violence is the same identical Greek word that we just read in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, where it says, and everyone was pressing into it. So suffers violence and pressing is the same identical word in the Greek text. I looked it up myself. But why is it translated in one place, taking it by force, but another place, pressing in to it? And when you hear those words that everyone is pressing into it, don't you get the impression there is a crowd or a multitude of people squeezing to get into a doorway? Everyone is pressing to get into it. Now, when I look at the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, as the Gospels report out to us, Jesus only had 12 apostles. But he preached in the cities and the villages all over Israel, Judea and Galilee. Then another place, he had 72 disciples. Then after he ascended to heaven, there was 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. So where are all these people who are pressing into the kingdom? Where are they? They didn't exist. Because that is not the import of these scriptures. So what is these scriptures saying if it's not saying that everybody was trying to get into the kingdom? When you read your Bible, you don't find that everybody Jesus preached and taught the word or the message of God to, they were just eager to receive it. You don't find that. Pharisees and Sadducees, they show didn't receive it. Scribes didn't receive it. So we got to stop trying to make sense out of nonsense. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, the Lord says, "Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let me say that one again. "Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." If it's the Father's good pleasure for you to receive the kingdom, why do you have to take it by force? Why do you have to press and get into it? If it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then in John chapter 10, Jesus was accused by the Jews of blasphemy. Blasphemy. So Jesus gave them the word, the same way I'm going to give you the word today. He said to those Jews that accused them of being blasphemous, he says, "Have you not read in your own law where God says, you are gods?" That's Psalms 82, verse 6. You are gods. And if the word of the Lord came unto the children saying, "You are gods," Jesus said, the scripture cannot be broken. What do you mean the scripture can't be broken? You can't take the scripture to annul another scripture. You can't take the scripture and cancel out some other part of the Bible. You can't take a scripture in John chapter 11 or Luke 16 and just set everything aside that Jesus taught about the kingdom. Something is missing. Something is lost. And I'll tell you what's missing. I'll tell you what's lost. It's translation. Did you hear what I said? It's translation. We already know it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So why we got to take it? We already know the scriptures cannot be broken. You can try to make the scriptures say whatever you want to make it say, and a lot of people will do just that. But let me tell you something. The scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said on another occasion, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life, but these are they that testify of me, but you wouldn't even come unto me that you might have life." Here people are looking in the scriptures, but yet they ignore the God of the scriptures. And a lot of us are guilty of the same thing. We want to take the Bible and make it say what we want it to say. We want to make it fit our situation. We want to justify our mess with the Bible. But honey, the scripture cannot be broken. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So what's happening here? Now I want to focus on three things. Violence, violent people, and force. Everywhere in the scripture that the word violence is used, it's a negative connotation. And I don't believe God called us to be negative people, to do negative things. I believe we ought to be positive people doing good things, wholesome things. But every place in the scripture, now the word violent ain't in the scripture that many times, but every place is mentioned, it's a negative connotation. But we need to rid ourselves of thinking that we need to be violent. Violent people. We need to rid ourselves of that. Oh, it's all right to get mad at the devil. But what good does it do to get mad at the devil if you don't know who you are and what you have? When you know that God has given you power, when you know that you are a son of the King and that His kingdom is on the inside of you, you can stand your ground and say, "Devil, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to loose me," and He's got to let you go. You ain't got to talk about shooting him. I had a man one time told me, this is a true story. In fact, I came to my church one night. This is the first church I ever had. And I unlocked the door, and I was startled because there was a man sleeping in the church. And this man happened to be one of the deacons in the church at that time, and he had keys to the church. I said, "What are you doing here?" Well, he and his wife had a falling out. He said, Pastor, she got on my nerves so bad, I just felt like I needed to shoot her in the mouth. And I said to him, you cannot conquer the devil. You can't destroy the devil by shooting the devil. He thought his wife was the devil, and he said he thought he needed to shoot her in the mouth. Now, he never shot her in the mouth, but that was his last resort. Not using his Holy Ghost power. And more often than not, when somebody tells you that they're having a problem with their wife, you need to check them out, because you got the dog to bring your bone, he's going to carry a bone away. Huh? You got to be careful when people talking to you about their spouse, because the spouse ain't there. Huh? And you can say what you want to say about your spouse, but your spouse is a consequence of a choice you made. So if your spouse is so bad, what does that say about you? Come on, let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100 up in here. So if your spouse is so bad, what does that say about you? But anyways, this man actually thought you can destroy the devil with a gun and a bullet. No, you can't. He's a spirit. And you need spiritual power to overcome an evil spirit. So, I want to talk about the violence, the violent people in force. Now, we did read in the King James right here, chapter 11, verse 12, that Jesus said, since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He also says that the law and the prophets were to John. He said that in Luke 16, and since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Now again, suffer violence and pressing are identical words. So the Douay Rheims Bible. That's right. You never heard of it, have you? The Douay Rheims Bible? Because it predates the King James Bible. The Douay Rheims Bible was published in the late 16th century, and the King James Bible was published in the early 17th century. But here's what the Douay Rheims Bible says. It translates what John 11 calls suffers violence, and what Luke 16, verse 16, called pressing in. The Douay Rheims Bible says, everyone is behaving violently against it. Doesn't that make more sense? When two of John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus and tell Jesus, John has been cast into prison. And John says to them, that since the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, bad people are behaving violently against the kingdom of God. This is what the Lord was saying. He wasn't saying that we need to get violent. Even when John was in prison and he sent his disciples to say, ask him, is he the one to come, or should we look for another? John was in doubt and fear. He knew that his life was in peril. And he felt that if Jesus was really the Messiah, then he needed to come and get me out of jail. But that wasn't part of God's plan. That wasn't part of God's purpose for John. And Jesus knew that. He says, you go tell John. Go tell John the things that you have seen and witnessed. How the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. And how the dead are raised, and even the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Go tell John that. And blessed is he who's not offended in me. Just because God doesn't answer your prayer the way you think he should answer your prayer, just because God doesn't come and manifest his presence when you think he needs to manifest himself right here, right now, doesn't believe that what God said isn't true. But it may suggest that you're not believing the truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Jesus was responding to John's disciples. And he was saying, I understand that everyone is behaving violently against it, against the kingdom. And that was true. Now, what is it to behave violently against the kingdom? To behave violently against the kingdom is to experience what John the Baptist experienced. Even when the religious folks went out to the Jordan River to John's baptism, they didn't go to really get baptized. They went to criticize him. To behave violently is to assault him. John the Baptist was assaulted. To behave violently is to afflict him. He was afflicted when he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. To behave violently is to oppress him. To persecute him. To behave violently is to constrain the messenger or even the advancement of the kingdom itself. All those things are violence. And perhaps you've experienced that in some way or on some level. How there's some people that have afflicted you, assaulted you because of your belief. They want to oppress you. Maybe you don't know what persecution is. Have you ever felt somebody trying to constrain you, telling you it doesn't take all that? You don't need to do all that to be saved. They're just trying to constrain you and not allow you to advance and grow in the things of God. This is what John experienced. Jesus called that violence. And who did the violence come from? Who did the violence come from? The violence came from Antipas, Herod Antipas, the tetrarch of Galilee. In some gospels, they call him King of Galilee, but the truth is, he never had the title of king. Only Caesar could be king. But Herod Antipas, John preached out against him because he was marrying his brother's wife. This is why John was thrown into prison. John says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Herod didn't want to hear that. So Herod decided to afflict John, throw him in prison. So was Herod Antipas that was being violent toward John and the kingdom of God. It was the Jewish leaders themselves, the leaders of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. All these forces were coming against John and the kingdom of God. And in that way, the kingdom of God was suffering violence. And the violent take it by force, it was simply violent people behaving badly, forcefully seizing upon the kingdom of God. Are you starting to see this just yet? I want you to be patient because I'm going to prove it to you scripturally. Can the kingdom ever be taken by force? Think about the kingdom. And think about every kingdom has a king. Can the kingdom ever be taken by force? But yet we think that when Jesus said, at least in the King James translation, the violent take it by force, we thinking he's talking about believers being violent. Not so, beloved. He is talking about those religious folks and Herod Antipas who were violent against John the Baptist. Can the kingdom ever be taken by force? Let me take you through some scriptures. I got time. Let me take you through some scriptures. In Acts chapter 13, verse 48. The apostle Paul and Barnabas is there in Antioch, and they're preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Bible says that the Gentiles gladly receive the message. They gladly receive the gospel. They even honored and glorified the word of God. Then the Bible says in verse 48, as many as are ordained to eternal life believe. Everybody did not believe. Everybody did not press into it. There was nothing taken by force. So even though Paul was well received, and even though they glorified the word of God, only those that were ordained to eternal life, believed. Now, some of you probably begin to wonder about that. How's that? You're saved, but maybe one of your loved ones are not saved. How's that? You're saved, but not a friend of yours not saved yet. It has to do with the preordination of God. God knows exactly who's going to get saved, when they're going to get saved, and how they're going to get saved. Bless God, and where they're going to get saved. And if he didn't know that, he wouldn't be God. But even though Paul preached and they glorified the word, they honored the word, but only as many as were ordained to eternal life believe what Paul was preaching. There's a lot of folks get happy. They shout. And they don't believe a word you say. They're just going with the emotion. They're going with the feeling. But they're not believing a word that you're saying. But those that were ordained to eternal life, they believed. And those entered the kingdom of God. Then in Romans chapter 8, along the same line, verse 29 and verse 30. For whom he foreknew, check this out, beloved. For whom he foreknew, he did predestinate, that you might be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And to whom he predestinated, he called. And to whom he called, he justified. And to whom he justified, he glorified. If you could take the kingdom by force, you would nullify the election and the calling of God. You would nullify and just void out, erase the predestination of God. Now, what am I saying? I am not saying that God knows only a certain number of people is going to be saved, and those are the people he's going to save. No, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that everyone that gets saved, it is according to God's predestination for them to be conformed to the image of the King. For them to be conformed to the image of his son. And I'm telling you, beloved, you cannot take this by force. If you're not convinced yet.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road. Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.